This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
I'm so grateful to have health. Man, but someone who is not suffering from health, but suffering from a lack of sleep is our good friend Matt Graham with MBS Live. He just flew in late last night from his son. I love parents that just really pour into their kids at this stage in their lives. And Matt, I'm just so grateful for you to be on the podcast. So sleep deprived. How are you doing, friend?
Sleep deprived, but it's worth it, right? There are worse things to lose sleep over, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you don't get these years back. But anyway, it's good to have you back. What you got for us?
Yeah, it's an interesting time. And first off, I want to say Les's segment is just right on. I mean, a lot of people that I talk to have been wondering this for years now after QE1. And then especially after QE2 and 3, is this just the new way it's going to be forever and ever? Is the Fed going to just always be buying some bonds or reinvesting some bonds and then maybe stopping for a little bit only to have to get involved again when the next poo hits the fan? And, you know, I think a lot of people would like to know. A lot of people have strong opinions on it. I think there is some hypothetical situation in the future where they could get out. Clearly, they are decreasing their amount of bond buying presently, and we're going to talk in a bit about how they want to accelerate that and the market's reaction. It's kind of interesting and paradoxical, but you know, I don't know what the implications are going to be going forward, but it's just it's an interesting thing to keep in mind and to watch to see how it unfolds. So we'll get to the Fed being the central point of conversation in the current week, but to set up the current week, we go back to 2 weeks ago when the Omicron news cycle flared up, a lot of concern about that. And a very logical sell-off in stocks and rally in bonds 2 weeks ago. And that was incredibly linear. You can take a chart of stocks, say S&P futures, since that trades overnight, and overlay that with 10-year treasury yields, and they are almost right on top of each other the whole time. Then in the following week, we had several articles and some comments on news interviews from officials saying that, hey, maybe this Omicron thing won't be quite as bad as we thought. That's the gist of those comments anyway. It's not necessarily exactly what they said, but that was the takeaway. And when that happened, you saw stocks reverse and bond yields reverse. And stocks, as many people know, recovered all of their pre-Omicron losses and are sort of hanging out at those levels right now. But the bond market did much better. It did not follow stocks all the way back up last week. And I think that was really notable because we did have a treasury auction cycle and corporate bond issuance adding to that supply side of the market. And that typically causes a little bit of drama for bonds on auction weeks. And then we also had lurking in the background the week before and heading into that weekend, Fed speakers really being blunt about accelerating the tapering process in order to get to a point where they could hike rates quicker to combat inflation that is no longer seen to be transitory. But, you know, Powell in his congressional testimony even said that time to drop the transitory verbiage when we're referring to inflation. And then he also said the things about accelerating the tapering process. I think given all that and given the fact that stocks were moving back in the other direction, oil was moving back in the other direction, and just the general low level of interest rates in the big picture, it's striking and perhaps encouraging to see bonds hold their ground as well as they did last week. There wasn't a ton of important economic data, but the most important report was probably the CPI data on Friday, Consumer Price Index. And it was very well received, given that it came in at the highest levels in 30 years. Those were in line with economists' expectations. So there's a little bit of an explanation for that. But nonetheless, inflation is high and bonds had a lot of supply to deal with. Bonds are worried about the Fed accelerating the taper. And nonetheless, they leveled off without making any new highs on Friday and actually stayed under Wednesday's level. Oh, yes. And there was a really bad 30-year bond auction on Thursday, and that didn't seem to faze the bond market either. So we're seeing some resilience here, and maybe, fingers crossed, let's be optimistic. But from an objective standpoint, the bond market was more resilient than it should have been heading into the end of last week. Now, this week could be a different story. By coming in as expected, that CPI report really put more emphasis on this week's Fed. For instance, if it had been much higher than expected, then the market would have shifted to forecast or expected the Fed would be more hawkish, less bond friendly this week. And so we would have gotten some of that movement out of the way on Friday. But by coming in as expected, it sort of makes the Fed reaction that much more volatile because we don't know exactly how they're going to play it. A lot of people think that the Fed is simply going to double the pace of tapering, so increase treasuries to 20 a month as opposed to 10, and increase MBS to 10 a month as opposed to 5. But there are also some calls for just a 50% increase, so taking it up to $15 billion a month in treasuries and 7.5 in MBS. Either way, that's going to accelerate their balance sheet wind down and get them to a point where they can hike rates sooner if that's what they decide they need to do. I think if they do that, they'll do it in a dovish sort of way where they say, we just want the flexibility. We want the latitude to be able to do those rate hikes. And we just don't like to do rate hikes if we're still adding to the balance sheet on the bond buying side of things. Now, one Fed speaker, I think it was Bullard, said we could hike rates before we stop tapering, but only times I've heard a Fed speaker say that. So I'm not sure how well received that idea is on the committee. But anyway, the bottom line is, Wednesday afternoon, 2 p.m., we get the Fed announcement. They're probably going to say something about accelerating tapering. They're also going to be releasing their summary of economic projections, which includes the infamous dot plot that forecasts rate levels that each Fed member is expecting. And usually that produces a good amount of volatility on those four meetings a year where those come
out. Good point.
So
really good.
If you got locks to lock, you might want to make sure they're in by Wednesday. Or if you're a big gambler, you might want to look for opportunity on Wednesday afternoon.
Blow on those dice, roll them if you want to, but man, play it smart, play it smart. One question that just came in from one of our listeners, Matt, for you specifically was, hey, I love your system. Kudos to you for what you do. You discovered you through Liquid on Lending, and we're grateful for this service. One of the things they said he knows you do, most likely, presumably, what is the general flavor on from originators out there that you're hearing? Bullish about 2022, concerned? General thoughts.
Yeah, tempered expectations, right? Every time we have these boomy cycles like we had in 20 and 2021, then, you know, leaner times ahead, but not so lean that the people that have the realtor relationships or that have reliable database marketing strategies are going to struggle during those times. Right. And maybe not say they shouldn't be in the industry, but that are not necessarily as dedicated to being in it for the long haul, those fruits might get shaken from the tree, let's say.
Yeah.
And so that's an opportunity for everybody. But, you know, I think in our community, people are pretty good about trying to keep other people grounded and say, make hay while the sun shines and don't go buy Ferraris just because you made $1 million this year, because you might not next year.
You know, I think it's important that we all keep a level set optics here. I mean, you know, the forward-looking forecast for 2022, pick your poison, $2.5 to $2.7 trillion in origination volume. And who knows where it comes in, but that's where the forecasts are kind of bunched around right now. Look, in 2019, we were a 2.1 trillion market. So if you just isolate on 2020 and 2021, sure, the number looks bad. Farm certainly looks challenging. But if you look back over 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, that $2.7 trillion forecast for 2022 is still a hefty number.
That's a great number. Yeah.
Realistic number.
Yeah.
As opposed to all-time crazy numbers from the last 2 years.
So I think Matt's comment around tempered expectation really resonates with me, David, just because 2022 will be the third best origination year out of the last 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
And additional runs toward low rates are possible. And when those happen, if they happen, then that creates little pockets of mini booms for refis. It's always going to be the case that those who are fostering strong realtor relationships are going to have the most consistent experience. But that we wouldn't say that refi opportunity is dead, especially, you know, niche opportunities that some people focus on.
Yeah. Great commentary. Jack, thanks for jumping in. Appreciate that. Matt, I love the perspective. I love your website. It is just elegant, and it is so powerful. And folks, you can get signed up for an extended trial without a credit card. I think you should just sign up. This thing is such a powerful tool. Just sign up. Just put that credit card in there and do it. You won't regret it. And Matt, I'm so grateful for you to be a part of the podcast. Appreciate you, friend.
Folks, so good to have you be a part of the podcast. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, CMLA, Lenders One, Incelerate, Mobility, MMI, Modex, MBA, the Knowledge Coop, Mortgage Collaborative, SnapDoc, Success Kit, and now Lenders Toolkit. Great toolkits out there, folks, and we're thrilled. Next week, we got Ben Turlink of Mobility MMI and also Mobility RE. Again, they have two focuses with the real estate side and on the recruiting side. So look forward to having you back here and listening to our live interview with Ben Turlink. So good to have you with us, everybody. Have a great week. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.